because I'm only half a Mexican.
Yep. Don't go too crazy because you're not Mexican, most likely. Hello, guys. Welcome back to Two Latin Brothers Podcast, the podcast where we talk about comedy and our daily lives, brought to you as a comedy podcast. I'm Victor.
And I'm Adrian.
We're back at it again. Now, we've recently done something.
We have.
We have released something.
Yeah.
That we haven't done since, well, yes.
I think it was like it's since last year.
Was it? No.
No, we did one in...
No, we did.
I think it was since last. Let me check real quick.
He's going to check.
I'm going to
verify. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking. If you haven't realized what we're talking about yet, we've released a vlog. And if you know that we've released a vlog, you now know that the vlogs are somewhat back. Hopefully we can maintain this form of content, you know, going forward. We also plan to start picking up our game on the React Mondays. Yeah,
the last vlog wasn't posted. It was posted last year, bro.
Wow.
5 months ago.
Wow.
True story.
Yeah, wow.
True story. And the other thing, too, is like we recorded it like 3 weeks before we even uploaded that.
Yeah.
So,
we're gonna be filming a lot more.
Yeah.
For vlog content, what we're thinking, which is what we've discussed,
yeah,
is just filming a bunch of snippets,
yeah,
and then putting those all together to form something like a quick story.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I've been experimenting heavily.
Yeah.
To the point where, like,
you really. We might drop it just for the sake of it.
Yeah, just to see what the reaction of it is. I don't know yet, but I'm curious to see if we were to do something like that and if that would like take off or not.
Yeah,
and I need to like do some more research music wise.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I think it would be kind of cool to test out.
Yeah.
Just to see like that format of.
Vlogging,
yeah, because that's just like something. That's just something so different.
It's like I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, and the real thing is the only way to experience it is you have to wear headphones. Like you can't.
Yeah, it's
like I just you know it's just the only way you can experience that because just of the way I did it, and I think it'd be cool to try, but we'll see.
Yeah,
no promises. It may just become like a Reel or TikTok thing.
Maybe.
Figuring it out.
We could create a series.
I mean, we could, but it's like, the thing is it only works with the good, like, if I have, like, because all the sound bites have to be, like, I've even thought about doing it with the podcast before.
Yeah.
And I don't know yet. That's the problem. Like, I need proper sound bites and just the way you go about all of it, right? So.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll just genuinely see. There's a few things, you know, that we're gonna experiment a lot on the channel. With some things we're gonna be doing coming up eventually in the near but far future.
I feel like the thing is it's always about experimentation. Like just trying things and seeing what works. Like the thing with the podcast, like if you guys go and listen to the first episode of the podcast, it's a mess. Like, there's no structure. Sure. We're just kind of going at it. We have no idea what's going on. Like, half of the episode is us just talking about how it feels to listen to our own voice.
Yeah.
Play back in the headphones because we weren't used to it, right? So now it's just, like, second nature. It's a lot of things like that, right? So I think the more we try things out and experiment, you know, it is. Like, last week's episode was... in a studio, right? Like we were in a proper recording studio last week. And
this is
also like our studio, but I mean in the sense of like, you know, we were using like professional, like not that we're not using, but we were using like higher quality mics. Yeah. We were using, you know, we had, it was just, it's just a completely different experience.
Yeah, to what this is.
Yeah, to what this is. And it just, you know, it changes the way you go about recording.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was an interesting experience, and we're probably going to do it a few more times.
Yeah, we probably will. Like, we probably even just the two of us go and do it again.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah, just to mess around, honestly, at this point. But I don't know. I feel like we can definitely, you know, figure some other stuff out. But I think we should talk about the highlight of today.
The highlight.
For everyone, it was yesterday, but for us, it's right now.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the,
you want to just say it?
It's May the 4th.
May the 4th.
So May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. We almost brought back Baby Grogu, but then
honestly, you know what?
So Baby Grogu, main appearance, guys. This is the first time this season he's made a return. You know, little floppy ears. You know what I'm saying?
You guys missed this, didn't you?
He is he is majestic. No, he is honestly, he, for those who don't know and those who haven't been in here, he sits like in a spot over here. Like near a window, and like every time you walk into the room, he's like the first thing you see when you look down the, because you walk in from this side, so you see him as soon as you walk in. But we've had people walk in here and they just like charge at the Grogu.
Yeah, they're like, I'm gonna hug this thing because it's literally a giant plushie.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Talk about Star Wars, bro. I mean, Star Wars is one of those things where I feel like there's a whole generation.
There's a community.
No, there's multiple generations at this point.
It's a community.
Of course it's a community. But there's multiple generations now.
Yeah.
That grew up on Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wonder if, you know, Star Wars, because of the way it was done back in the originals, the way they were done using a lot of practical effects, and it wasn't, you know, there was a big push in VFX at that time, and like Star Wars pushed CGI.
Oh yeah,
to its brink. It was just so far. Just ahead. Some of the things that they were doing back then, and now with the Mandalorian, they're pushing even like, how far can I push?
I know.
To the point of like,
honestly, I'm so happy like all of those shows are coming out and stuff, because it's giving us more context into the characters and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, there's, like, the graphic novels. There's, like, those books and stuff like that. But a lot of people don't go out of their way to read those, right?
Right, yeah,
so
of
it's,
course.
Like, bringing it truly, like, it's, like, bam, in your face.
Right, yeah. I think it's, you know what, honestly, what Disney has done is brought back Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, okay, don't get me wrong. You know, the fourth, fifth, and sixth, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Like they're known as like the greatest, you know, they're the OG, you know, you can't go wrong, right? And then like the first, second, and third, it's like
I know.
Around the second one, it's like a hit or miss. And then when you get to the seventh, eighth, and ninth Star Wars movies,
yeah,
the seventh one hit all the nostalgia, like just all the nostalgia.
Yeah.
That was everything you wanted in the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And then the eighth one, to be honest, I barely remember.
To be honest, like, the thing is with me is, like, it's been so long.
Yeah.
Since I've watched all of them, like, straight through.
Right.
And when I did watch, like, the OG ones, I was very little.
Right.
Like, when I watched them all the way through. Because I've watched, like, snippets and parts of them. And, like, that kind of refreshes me a little bit.
Right.
But, like, to watch all of them in a marathon, like, go through it all.
Right.
I haven't done that in, I don't think I've ever done that, actually, properly.
You're saying we should do that?
I'm saying we did it. Well, no, we almost finished. No, we didn't. No, we only watched, like, four movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we should try it.
we should try it and watch it in order of release.
Okay, so you start 4, 5, 6, then you go 1, 2, 3, then you go 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Technically, the way it's kind of funny. They're like, if you watch it in chronological order, you go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2. You watch all of Clone Wars. You stop at like season 6 or something like that. And then you watch 3. Then you jump back into Clone Wars. You finish Clone Wars. You jump into Rebels.
Yeah.
And then after Rebels, you like, actually, I think there's a point, a specific point in Rebels where you stop.
Yeah.
And then you jump into 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And you go back. And then, no, actually, no, you don't go 7, 8, 9. I know you go 7. And then you jump into Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then you fall into the other, what was the other Star Wars show? You also, like, Boba Fett fits in that timeline, so yeah. You also have to watch that in between the Mandalorian season, and then you jump back to, like, 8, 9, like, it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if we were to watch it in, like, the timeline.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it would be.
It's a lot, and, seems like a lot of energy, so we're just gonna stick to the movies right now.
seems like a lot of work.
We'll hit the Clone Wars and Rebels down the line.
Down the line at some point.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we started watching.
Yeah, we started watching Clone Wars again.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I kind of zoned out after, like.
Well, I think the mistake was we were trying to watch it all the way through in one sitting. Like season one, really.
Okay, there's like 20 something episodes in season
one. I know.
That wasn't the problem. The problem was, is that.
And we were like, okay.
Like, it's because, like, it's the first few seasons.
Yeah.
Are designed for children.
I know.
Because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's a little like, oh, man. Like, I feel like it drags a little.
A little bit.
But I've been told that it gets better, so.
Yeah, I know.
Just have to let it get better.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, what is it? I can't remember. Someone was, have you seen those, like, TikTok edits of people, like, saying about the NBA season?
Like, no.
People have been making NBA edits.
Okay.
With anime music. Like, okay. The intros of anime songs. And it was some guy, I can't remember what season it was, like 58 or something like that, finally got through all the filler to get to the main story, and it's like season 58, yeah. And it's like the first time Michael Jordan is playing basketball. Got to the main arc, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Oh my goodness.
58 That's crazy.
What are they going to do when he goes to baseball?
58 seasons to get to the main arc of this. And then Someone else made another one when they're like, I think it was like 60-something when they're like, finally got to main arc when like Kobe joins.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's like all the filler, all the build up to this moment.
It's like, stay tuned for the spinoff show.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's honestly, some of those things are pretty crazy.
Yeah.
If you were to watch sports like that, it'd be pretty intense.
Yeah. Man.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's honestly crazy.
Recently, there's been like that. Well, not recently, but there's been that boom in sports anime.
Yeah.
Right. There's like the volleyball one, the tennis one, soccer one. There's a boxing one. There's. I feel like there's a swimming one, but I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure there's a track one too.
There's track ones. Like, there's like, so many, like,
since, like, 2018, I'd say they've been dropping as sports anime.
Yeah. So, realistically, if you're someone who doesn't like
anime. There's a figure skating one, too.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is it Yuri on Ice or Ari on Ice or something?
I can't remember. But I think you said it, actually. If you're someone who doesn't like anime. Now, I'm going to tell you an argument that most people haven't told you. Okay. Most people like to argue, but it's so good, like, you know, the storyline and stuff like that. Okay, there is an anime designed for every person at this point. I'm not even joking. If you're into the science stuff, there's anime for that. If you're into gaming, there's anime for that. If you're into sports, there's an anime for that. I bet there's even an anime where they, like, compete in crocheting. Like, this is, like, and they make it cinematic.
There's an anime where, like, the main characters have a club about sleeping. Have you seen this? And they go to, like, they go to sleeping tournaments.
Like, there's even an anime.
Oh, it's a napping tournament. Or they go to, like, napping tournament. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Like, there's even, like, if you're a lazy person and you like being lazy or you wish to be lazy, there's, like, a listlessness anime that we started watching and I don't think we finished it.
Yeah,
and then I finished it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna dedicate.
I couldn't do it. I'm like, every time I watched this, I felt like incredibly lazy after every episode.
Yeah, I know. Like, there was some.
The problem was episodes. I was like at the. We were watching it during one of my exam seasons.
Yeah, and you're just like, this is so mean.
Yeah, I'm like,
I want to sleep like that.
I can't do this right now. Like, I need to focus. I need to get my together, and
like,
I can't.
Honestly, it was so good. Like, if you want to, know how to be lazy.
Okay,
for
have
a
you
day,
noticed the subcategory in romance animes now?
Wait, there's a what?
The subcategories in romance anime now. Okay, so romance. Okay, so for those who don't know, they're like the romance category, right? It's out there, right? So then we have like the build up romance, where like the whole anime, they're just like teasing that, you know, they're gonna end up together at the end. Then you have the harem anime, where like there's multiple girls,
yeah,
and we all kind of like pick the girl we want the guy to end up with, and he ends up. And then you have like the polygamy one, where he'll end up with multiple girls,
yeah.
And then you'll have the one where the anime starts with the couple already being a couple,
yeah,
right. And then like all the issues that entie for that,
yeah.
Then you have anime to lover romance anime,
yeah,
where it's like they're like they hate each other and then they end up loving each other
at the end, yeah.
These are subcategories in romance.
I didn't know that.
Like, it is. Now that you're thinking of all the animes that are like this.
As you were saying it, I was picturing an anime like that.
Right. So it's really crazy how it's before. You know what this is called before?
What?
Drama.
Okay, so romance and drama.
Yeah, but
they broke it down into subcategories.
They've broken it down into subcategories, and it's like, why are we doing this?
Because it was necessary.
It's like, and also
no, it's because like also like you watch an anime, it's like something you've liked already.
Yeah.
Like for example, Enemies to Lovers.
Yeah.
Like you see one anime like that, and you're like, oh, I actually enjoyed that. I kind of want to see another one like that.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, well, there's a whole category on this stuff.
Right.
So then you can fall into it, right?
Right.
And all the stories are either. And I find it so amazing how every time it's basically a different story. Like, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you obviously know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And some of them are actually really mean, and they end it, like very, like, realistic kind of situations.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, is this trauma?
Is this trauma?
But, like, some of these anime are just so good.
It's like Violet Evergarden.
Okay, yeah.
The way Violet Evergarden ends. If you haven't seen the movie, I implore you, please see the movie.
Yeah.
The way Violet Evergarden ends, and not to drop any spoilers, but I think, that the way that ends, is just, oof.
Yeah.
Like it hits you in a way where you're not ready for it, but at the same time, like the buildup was here.
Yeah.
You were ready for it.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel like enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're like, I want more. I deserve more.
Yeah,
like, after this emotional turmoil, I deserve more.
Yeah.
Right? You feel like, but the story's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And you're just like, I want more.
Yeah. See, but I think those are some of the best kinds of endings.
Yeah.
It's like they leave you wanting more.
Right.
But, like, you're still satisfied with and okay with what happened.
Right, yeah.
Right? But it's like that desire, you know? Like,
it's like when Naruto ended, everybody wanted more, and they gave us Boruto, and it was 253 episodes of filler.
Anyways, there's also like slices of life.
Right.
Right? So it's everyday life.
Yeah.
Put into an anime.
Right.
Great concept. Absolutely love it. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go up to my brother, I'm like, you know what we need? And he's like, what? I'm like, a good slice of life.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Because you really drop into like that, like reincarnate into another world type animes. They become like overpowered, or like they train a lot and then they become overpowered. And then it's just like they're living out their fantasy life in this new world and stuff like that. We've been into that a lot recently.
It's because that's what's coming out.
It's booming
recently.
Right now.
Because that
right now is trending.
Right now, that's the anime market.
Yeah, that literally is the anime market. Being isekai into another world.
Yeah, I just gotta, like, we joke every time we see, like, a truck now.
Yeah.
We're like, bro, if I take a step forward right now, I could get isekai.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't do it. That was really dark. Anyways, I don't approve this mess.
Obviously. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this short intermission.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Two Latin Brothers Podcast. You thought there wouldn't be a commercial, but there is. So make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll see you guys right now.
And we're back.
We are back. On the topic of discussion of anime.
Actually, I wanted to change topic. Sure.
You want to change topic? No, keep going. We're done with anime. Let's move on.
Let's move on. All right. Technically, today is Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. That is so true. Man, am I gonna have to dress him up now? We'll be right now. Okay.
Get him like a little poncho.
Get him a little poncho. Get him a little sombrero. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so the reason we didn't do this is because it kind of slipped our minds this year. We had thought about it, but here's the thing. So, for those who don't know what Cinco de Mayo actually is,
what is it?
I think we should explain
it. Okay, what is it?
All right, so in the state of Puebla, in Mexico. This isn't a full, I don't know why all the Latinos jumped in on this, but that's not how it is. It's a Mexican thing, and it's only in one state.
Yeah.
And I don't know why everybody else got involved, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointing. Well, anyway,
because it would have affected everything else.
I mean, I guess, but, you know. It would have, really would have just affected Mexico.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have affected anybody else.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I don't know why people from Honduras, from Belize, from El Salvador, from, like, Guatemala, like, why y'all celebrating Cinco de Mayo? You don't even know what, like, you know what I mean?
Well, if that area of Puebla would have been conquered, that would have been
a vantage point. The Spaniards had a tight grip, and the British were in Belize, so, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You think the British were going to take a knee?
I mean, if they started changing the Mexicans, oh, yeah.
Anyway, if I may finish.
Scary.
It's a whole history thing. Anyway, so what happened was is that so in the state of Puebla, which is a state in Mexico, they the French showed up and they were fighting the Spaniards and the Native Americans in Mexico at the time. And it's believed that on the Cinco de Mayo they won the battle.
Yeah.
The battle ended that day and they won. The Spaniards and the Native Americans, they won the battle. So it's like a day of, like, you know, like a victory. It's the Mexican D-Day is what it is,
pretty much.
It's also widely believed that if the French would have won that battle, Mexicans would speak French, so that would have been interesting.
Yep.
Or at least a very large majority of them would speak French.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what Cinco de Mayo is. Now that I've given you all the history lesson, happy Cinco de Mayo. You know, be safe out there. Be careful. Don't party too hard, and don't party on my behalf, because I'm only half a Mexican.
Yep. Don't go too crazy, because you're not Mexican, most likely. I mean, like, I guess for most people, it's just kind of like an excuse to drink tequila.
Yeah, I mean, be real though. People who drink tequila a lot, do they really need an excuse?
The excuse is they're a tequila drinker. It's like I saw this post the other day.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, where it's like, if you need an excuse to drink, they give you like a day. Like they tell you what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is.
Yeah.
And like they break it down.
Yeah.
So they're like, I think it was like, I thought it was like Monday whiskey.
Yeah.
And then it's just like Tuesday, tequila Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday it's like, why not Wednesday?
Why not Wednesday?
And then Thursday was like, what was it?
He's struggling to pull this out of his brain, guys.
Oh, man. It's because I'm not a drinker.
Anyway, getting...
And then, like, Friday was just, like, Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, Recover Saturday. And then it was just, like, Make It Through Sunday. Something like that. I can't remember. I probably butchered the entire rest of it, but let's, like, be real here.
But, yeah, no, honestly...
But, like, how alcoholic do you have to be to give a name for every day of the week as an excuse? At that point, just be like, yes, I'm an alcoholic. I drink beverage. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Like, I just... On the topic of alcohol.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a slippery slope. Like, most people go, like... You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
To think about? And this is going to change the whole conversation, because this is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
When I was in social work.
Uh-huh. When I was studying. Okay.
I had to go to...
An intervention.
Almost, but no. I had to go to an anonymous...
A group meeting.
A group meeting for Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I got there, you know, everybody's giving you looks. Because you're young. I was young, right?
Yeah.
I was like 20, 21
years old. Like, what is this guy doing?
So I was like 22 and walking in.
Yeah.
And this one guy walks in and he goes, and there's like there's a lot of older people and they're like middle-aged people. And so like some of them look like, yo, look at this guy. Like, just walked in. Like, you know, they're like, yo, it's like, it's getting real, guys. Like,
yeah, this is a problem. Like, yeah, like our youth is now affected.
Yeah, right. So it's like, this is a, and it's like, and they know it's an ongoing problem, right?
Yeah.
And so, and there was a guy there celebrating 15 years of sobriety.
Wow.
And he was like 46 or 47.
Also, he started in his early 20s.
No, he started drinking at 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be 15 years.
When he stopped drinking.
Oh, yeah.
He started drinking at 13.
Yeah, yeah.
But he stopped drinking at like an age, like way later in his life when it was like so problematic.
So he stopped at like in his 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what was interesting to me was the fact that as soon as like once like the meeting was over and everything, he walked up to me and he goes, well, welcome to the group. And like, you know, he kind of gave me the rundown. He handed me some pamphlets and I go, oh, I'm like, thanks. And he goes, how long have you been sober? And I go, I'm actually not an alcoholic. Like, I actually don't drink like at all. And he like goes, so I'm like, why are you here? Like, like, why are you here? I'm like, I have an assignment. I'm like, I have an assignment in one of my addictions courses where I have to partake in one of these meetings just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, the idea is to for you to understand the perspective of an alcoholic, like what it would be like if you were to go to one of these meetings.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, oh, that's incredible. Actually, I like that.
Yeah.
And then I was telling him what I was studying and all that. And it was really cool. And like a bunch of people like started like they got into the conversation to go, I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like I never heard of this before, right? And then I was telling them how in like 3 weeks I had to go to one for like drug addicts.
Yeah.
And I went with like a group of friends.
Yeah.
So I didn't go alone to that one because, you know, it's like, because there have been instances where we had a prof tell us that we should go in groups because sometimes you'll have people show up to the meeting high. So
yeah.
Like just so you're like that way you're not alone sort of scenario. Yeah. And that was also a very interesting meeting.
Yeah.
But to see like the other side of it, right?
Yeah.
Because like there's a side of it where like it's all fun and games sort of scenario, but then there's like the other side of it, which is like complete and utter turmoil for like a person. And like just the way that some people talk about it, like, man, it's like,
yeah,
there is
once you've been scared straight, it's hard for you to try and understand
right
why you'd even start to begin with.
Right. Yeah. Okay,
like once you've because a lot of people are like yeah, like those are just like the few horror stories, but there's a lot more than you've seen.
Well, the thing is that okay, so most people this is like an actual stat.
Yeah.
At least here in Canada. I don't know what it's like in America. I don't know any other stats. I don't know. Yeah. I just know the ones here because that's what I learned. That's what I know. That's my job. we in Canada, I think it's like 1 in 25 people are likely to become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So what that means is that if you're in a party with 400 people, at least 8 of them, no, at least 16 of them are alcoholics, but they're high-functioning alcoholics.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest issue we have in our society. We have a lot of high-functioning alcoholics.
Yep.
Same thing with drug users. We have a lot of high-functioning drug users in this country. And so, and like, you know, just stuff you see and stuff you hear and, you know. So, and obviously, you know, you learn to navigate, but here's the thing, right? So we're having this conversation in class, right?
Yeah.
About it. And the way the prof brings it up is like, so you're done drinking, you're done partying. Like after this course, if you go back to drinking, you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
And we're all like, why? It's like, this course is almost designed to scare you not to fall into these things.
Yeah.
And this girl goes, sir, I just turned 19 last week.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me I can't party and drink. Like, I just became legal. Like, you can't say that to me. And then, and he turns around, he's like, I'm sorry. That's just the reality of the world.
Yeah.
And
because you yourself can't be a client.
So, wait. So then he gives us another stat, which obviously made us all laugh. He's like, guys, he's like, if you're a drinker, you're 10 times more likely, like, in the job. He's like, you're 10 times more likely to become an alcoholic. Because that's where all your sorrow will go. Like, he's like, if you
have a busy day, you hear a sob story, you relate to that sob story,
right?
You want to drink away that sobness,
right? He's like, so it's an endless vicious cycle,
yeah.
Of just like, you know, so,
You're self-medicating.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, the way he said it was like, guys, like the way he said it was like, he was trying to hurt us.
Yeah.
But it came off sarcastic.
Yeah.
So like,
a lot of people brush it off.
Kinda. Well, we're like, is he being serious or is he just making a joke? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But there were obviously instances where, you know, and obviously there were a few.
I can't imagine how many people who had to go to those meetings.
Yeah.
They themselves concluded that they were an alcoholic.
Right. That's the other thing too, right? Yeah. And we had to write a paper reflecting on it.
Yeah.
Now, like, I can't imagine how many people were like, yeah, I'm going to stop, you know, I'm going to like tone it down a little. Yeah, like, or
maybe,
like,
maybe I'm going to start going to these meetings myself to try and fix myself.
Right. Yeah. Like,
because 20 people, right?
Right.
There's got to be that one person.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, we were a class. Like, at that time, we were like 100 and I want to say like 140 people. Maybe.
Okay. Wait, no. So my, because what I just said was technically incorrect.
Yeah.
I said for every 20 person, for every 20 people, there's one person, right, who's an alcoholic. But there's a difference between high functioning and then
alcoholic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, because
I don't know what the stat is for that. And I don't think
There is one. I don't think yeah. I'm pretty sure there is one, but I don't think they track it properly.
Yeah.
Like, they probably do it like every like 5 years or something. It's not like a year to year thing, but It is interesting, right, to see those numbers and projections too. Like, I remember when vaping came around.
Oh yeah,
when vaping came around, the biggest issue with vaping was we didn't know like the ramifications of it. The other issue too is like the way it was advertised like teenagers.
Oh yeah,
like the marketing campaign, like for Juul. Have you seen those marketing campaigns?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, yo, what is this right now? Like, this is. You know, and it became very problematic. And I remember, where was I? I was in my last year of high school when that kind of popped up.
Yeah.
You okay over there?
I'm looking at the stats for
high functioning
for alcohol and stuff.
Yeah. Has it changed? It's probably changed because
they haven't done a heavy drinking test or like
Yeah, because
they haven't done stats since 2018.
Yeah, because COVID.
Because
usually they do.
Actually, no, they released an update in 2019.
Yeah, yeah, that
makes June 25th,
2019. What's it at now?
Because
when I was doing that class, it was like 2017, I think.
So there are 30.
Is it like by 1,000 or?
I don't know. Overall, males were more likely to report heavy drinking than females.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So 23.5% of males.
23.
Yeah.
So that's like what? We're like what? 34,000 people?
Yeah.
No, 34 million people. So get 34 million minus 23%.
Yeah, so in 2018, 19.1% of Canadians aged 12 and older. Roughly 5.9 million people reported alcohol consumption, and that classified them as heavy drinkers. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
5.9 million people.
Yeah.
But that's like out of
34 million.
Out of 34 million.
So that's like almost a third. No, that's like a fifth. No.
And this is the stat for heavy drinking. So that's not casual drinking.
That's right. So that's the thing, right? Like it's very crazy to think of like the numbers and the way it kind of goes, right?
Yeah.
So like, because there's obviously a lot of people and I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I've met those what we call social drinkers.
Yeah.
Like y'all social drinkers.
The highest percentage of where this number comes from. It's from Newfoundland and Labrador.
That makes a lot of sense.
Followed by Quebec.
That makes a lot more sense.
And Ontario's in the low percentile. So.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because we export a lot of it. We grow it here. Like, we grow it here and we export. We get it done. You know what I'm saying? Actually, there's a lot of wineries by Niagara.
Yeah.
And St. Catharines. So you have a lot of like vineyards out there. That have been around for like ever. But yeah, other than that, I don't. And the thing here is, especially in Ontario, I find like people are mostly social drinkers.
Yeah.
Like people aren't heavy drinkers. They're social drinkers. Like
people's reasonings for drinking. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's no one has ever taken their first drink and liked it.
Well, yeah. Cause it's an acquired taste.
Cause it's obviously an acquired taste. So how much did you crave to want to be drunk?
Yeah.
To get to the point you're at now.
Well, I think it's the other thing too is, and this topic has gone a little like sideways.
Yeah, I know. It went from happy Star Wars, happy Cinco de Mayo, to like, you know, people drink tequila, don't party too hard.
Yeah.
To let's take a look at the stats and let's bring some awareness.
Yeah, I think that most people who drink a lot are trying to hide away trauma.
Yeah.
Like they're going through something and they're trying to work it out and they don't know how to properly deal with it.
Yeah.
But then again, I've also we've had this instance. We went over to a friend's house and he stopped drinking years ago.
Yeah.
And we went into his house and they had beer cans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he stopped drinking. We go, yo, you okay? He goes, no. It's my wife is making chicken with
Yeah.
And we're and he's yeah. So I had to walk in. He's it was the first time I walked into a beer store in 15 years.
Yeah.
We're dang, that's crazy. And he goes, and we go, and so how'd he go? He's honestly, I felt wrong.
Yeah.
At the checkout. The lady must have thought I was committing a crime or something.
Yeah.
The lady at the checkout, he's I'm convinced was this guy's about to break his sobriety.
Yeah.
Because of just the way I looked going through the entire interaction.
Yeah.
And then the chicken was great though, I gotta say. The chicken was great.
Yeah.
And you know, so little things like that where you run into, you know, instances, right? It's good to have friendships where you can hold each other accountable to those sorts of things. And that's the problem. I feel like most friendships are surface level.
Yeah.
They're not deep, you know?
I feel like that's a really big disconnect that a lot of people have in today's society.
Right.
Specifically in Canada.
Yeah.
A lot of friendships are held together
mm-hmm.
only for the fact that A, you go drinking with them.
Yeah.
Or B, you smoke with them.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot, specifically through high school and college.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed most.
Yeah.
If I were to remove the substance away from their friendship, they literally have no reason to talk to each other.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Absurd.
I feel like that's something every friend group should ask themselves.
Yeah.
Can you as friends spend an evening out together and not take a single drink?
Well, no, I think
and still try to enjoy each other's company.
Right, but here's the other thing too. Yeah. I had a philosophy class. I think it was a philosophy class where our professor asked us, "Who's your group of friends?" And we're like, we're all sitting together. What do you mean, who's your group of friends? He goes, "Okay." He's like, "Have you guys ever had the topic of religion come up, in genuine conversation?" And we all go, no one says anything. Yeah. He goes, "Have you guys ever had the topic of stock markets and investment come up?" We all go, it's dead quiet again. He goes, "Have any of you ever talked about relationships and future plans that you have, where you're going to be in 5-10 years. And then this one guy goes, "Yes, we have." Yeah. And then he goes, right. And then his friend goes, "Bro, you were telling us about this one girl you hooked up with. That doesn't count."
Yeah.
Right. And so, it was very interesting. Right. And after that class, we were all thinking about how a lot of the issues that run into in friendships are lack of communication.
Yeah.
And I quickly discovered that for most people, especially if you're not religious, for example, you don't want to talk about religion, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you just avoid that topic altogether.
Yeah.
But this is where it flips on you, because psychologically, mm-hmm. those conversations make a bigger impact on people than other conversations.
Yeah.
Because
it's
a morality topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's not like, you know, and the same thing with, you know, deeper things, right? Like investing in stock markets and house buying, all that stuff is people planning for their future, not living in the now.
Yeah.
And most friendships are in the now, not in the future.
Yeah. For example, there's a lot of friendships that are just built off okay, we go to the same class with each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then summer reaches or something happens.
Yeah.
You know, and then that friendship sort of disconnects.
They fall out.
Yeah. And for some people, it's just they're straight up introverts. They don't want to talk to people.
Start of my life.
They're not the type of people to go out of their way to start the conversation. You have to come to me because I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to you because, you know.
Start of my
life. Then there's just genuinely those people who are I don't feel like our friendship's that close.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to reach out.
Yeah.
Right. And it's because you don't have those future conversations. So like you said, the conversations about like your future plans, mm-hmm. religion, and like just your opinions and views in yeah. general. If you've had that topic of discussion with people, they're most likely your actual friends.
Yeah.
Because there's friends that are actually acquaintances, and then there's like your real friends.
So wait, so here's another thing that our prof, we're running out of time, but our prof brought up to us.
Yeah.
He goes, how many of you have cried in front of one of your friends? And you want to know something crazy?
What?
I've only cried in front of maybe 4 people, like outside of my family.
Yeah.
Like, no, now I want to say like, I'm going to say 10.
Okay.
Just because, you know.
That's a safe number.
I'm going to say 10.
Because I'm going to say 7 because that feels even safer.
I'm going to say 10. But like, apart from like, you know, like our super close, like our yeah. family friends, like I'm not counting those. I'm kind of like my personal friends, just my friends. Right. So I'm going to say about 10 people. Okay. They've seen me cry. And not because I got hurt or because of injured, because of actual conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and as a male, like that's.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're in a group of guys to cry.
Yeah.
Because of a conversation, like you're being incredibly vulnerable with that person.
Yeah.
Right. And most people are never, like, especially amongst guys.
Yeah.
We're never that vulnerable with each other. Like last night, me and you were up to like 4 in the morning talking.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why this works.
Yeah.
Guys, if you're wondering why this works,
it's communication.
Because, it's because we talk a lot. Apart from the podcast, we talk a lot to each other. We communicate. We tell each other our thoughts, our political views,
or you know, just like genuine things that happen in our lives. And we're like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
Or like,
and but the other thing
genuine
too is like,
conversations that can lead into the topic of future.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset, like your morality,
mm-hmm.
and then the topic of like not politics in general, but like mm-hmm. just like opinion based stuff,
mm-hmm.
just anything personal, really.
Yeah,
is the topic of conversation that excels your friendship,
right? And we're not talking about, you know, like what's your favorite color.
Yeah.
We're talking like.
When is the last time you cried?
No, but I mean, like,
but like,
I mean,
obviously not like that.
Not start like that, but
not
I mean,
like that.
But I mean, like, some of the questions. I remember I had a friend. When we would talk, she'd be like, "So, you know, from your standpoint,
yeah,
like, you know, what did she say? She asked me, how do you feel about the society we're in now?
Yeah."
And then she brought up, you know, how society used to be, you know, how like the male was, you know.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'd kind of like to go back to that. And then my question, it's a lot less work for me, you know.
Like that's a good test, actually, to see where your friendship's at.
Yeah.
If you can maintain a conversation with someone.
And not get upset.
Yeah. Right. Hear them out genuinely.
Yeah.
And just hear their perspective.
Right.
Actually, I'm going to dare people who are listening to this right now. Text a friend what they think about something, and it could be something that could be controversial, you know, because you're going to be putting that trust into that person, right?
Right.
And they're going to trust you back.
I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of text messages. Just
oh, yeah. And you're going to get that. Watch people be like, why didn't you text me? But now, you know, but just try it. Like, hey. What's your view or what's your opinion? What's your value?
Right.
Starting a question like that for a conversation. And as soon as it feels uncomfortable, you'll know if they're truly your friend because they'll want to walk away from it.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that you've picked that's too sensitive, obviously.
Right.
So don't be pushy. But that will lead into a deeper conversation. And you'll realize after that conversation how much closer you are with your friends.
Right, yeah, and it's very challenging, like, especially in our society. We have a lot of Muslim people,
yeah,
and a lot of, you know, we have some Christians, and we have, you know, some Buddhism as well, and, you know, we have the, you know, we also have the Hindus and all that, right? And having those, especially when it comes to religious conversations,
yeah,
it's very challenging to navigate those.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, you have that one atheist guy, like, in the corner,
yeah,
and he goes, oh, this doesn't matter to me, like, I could care less, right? And then I remember one time I had this conversation with some friends of mine, and one of our friends, he got upset.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you guys shouldn't be talking about this and whatnot and all. And some random guy, like, walked up and joined the conversation. He's like, and he tells the other guy, he goes, yeah, yo, man, I'm so happy for, you know, fighting against, you know, the hierarchy of, like, believing in God and all this.
Yeah.
And I, like, turned to look at the guy, and even, like, the guy who was there was, like, he even felt a little thrown off by it. He was like, thanks, dude. Like, I guess, like, you know, like, I mean.
There's, like, if you can't have a conversation with one of your friends openly about.
Just about anything.
Just about anything.
Yeah.
And not basically feel butthurt about it.
Yeah.
Or listen to them all the way through. You should be questioning if you're even good friends or if you should remain friends.
Yeah.
Because if you're not willing to hear me out just based on my opinions.
Will you be there for me?
How can I trust you? Exactly. How can I trust you to be there for me?
Right.
Right. It's just like, I probably just destroyed a few friendships and stuff.
What have we done? what have we done?
This is welcome to the bit of psychology that that I understand and that Adrian's truly studied.
yeah, it's got real. We need to wrap up, bro. We're gonna
wrap up now. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to share with everybody. Share with your grandmother. Share with your sister. Share with your donkey. Share with everybody and everything you physically can. Check out the vlog if you haven't already, and check last week's podcast if you haven't done so. Pretty much the vlog is a update onto what happened. Well, it's basically the background of what happened to get to the point of the podcast. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
Bye.